Thank you, Pastor Peter, and good morning to everyone. Hope you're all doing well. And I'd like to begin this morning by showing you a video that I saw on social media. It made me laugh so hard, and I actually had to watch it over a few times. It's of this woman who had never flown in a plane before, and as preparation, her daughter took her on a roller coaster. So just watch this. Just watch. Is my hair okay? I just love that. She has such a good laugh, doesn't she? Well, you know, when I saw that, I thought, life is like a roller coaster. It has many ups and downs, but I believe that God wants to give us joy, no matter where we are or what the circumstances are in our lives. And you know, I really believe that God wants to restore someone's joy this morning. Joy in your life. Joy in your home. Joy in your marriage. I believe he even wants to restore some joy in our church today. Now, there's a story that I read, and it's about this little boy in church. And he's with his mother, and he was a good little boy. He was quiet and well-behaved. He didn't cause any problems or anything, but every once in a while, he would stand up in the chair and turn around and smile at the people behind them. Well, his smile was infectious, and soon everybody behind him was starting to smile back at him. And it was going really well until his mother realized what the little boy was doing. When she did, she grabbed him by the ear, and she twisted it a bit, and she told him to sit down and remember he was in church. Then he started sniffing and crying, and she turned to him and said, "Now that's better." To me, that's a really sad story, because I think some people actually have that impression that when you go to church or when you become a Christian, it's all gloom and doom from there, and there's nothing really to bring joy into our lives. But you know, that's totally not true. I believe Christians should laugh harder and love stronger than anyone else. After all, for the Christian, their sins have been forgiven, their future has been settled. Obviously, their lives should be marked by joy. But that's not always the case, is it? Now, before I begin, I want to make something quite clear so I'm not misunderstood. I don't want anyone to feel bad if they are less of a Christian, if they feel sad or they struggle with depression, because many Christians are sad. That's an emotion God gives us. It's natural. Some have depression, and some things are just really complicated, and some people even have brain health issues that need to be taken care of by a doctor or a therapist, which I am not. And I know people that are Christians that are going through depression, and they're suffering terribly, and they need that kind of care. And to me, that's no different than someone that has cancer or a broken leg, so there's no shame at all in that. Sadness is normal. It's an emotion. It's important that we take care of our whole person. But with that being said, I do believe that the Bible does have a lot to say about joy that can help us in our everyday lives experience more joy. Romans 14, 17 says, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." That means that the Christian life can be summed up in three words: goodness, peace, and joy. But what exactly does that mean? What is joy? Now, I think joy is a really hard word to define, but everyone in this room knows what joy is when they see it. They know what joy is when they have it, and they know what it is when they've lost it. You know, there's this song that we used to sing about joy when we were children. Maybe some of you remember it. It was, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And then we'd yell, "Where? Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." And you know what? I think we could say that "where" sometimes like, "Where is it? Where did it go? I can't seem to find my joy anymore." I don't know about you, but I'm terrible for losing things, especially lately. I lose my keys at least once a day. Think about it. What's the easiest thing for you to lose? Is it your glasses, your keys, your wallet, your patience? Maybe it's even your mind. You know, I think more than any of those things, I believe the easiest thing of all to lose is our joy. You can lose it with one phone call, with an email, with a letter, with one conversation. You can watch a commercial on TV and lose your joy. But, you know, we can't afford to lose our joy because cranky Christians, well, they're a bad witness. They look like they've been baptized in vinegar because they've never been smiling. But the reality is, we can lose our joy so quickly, and there are thousands of killjoys in life that will rob us of our joy, even to the point where someone like Jeremiah, prophet of God, said in Lamentations 5:15, "There is no joy left in our hearts." I don't know if that's where you are today. Perhaps you feel like you lost your joy or your joy has been stolen from you. Maybe you feel a little bit like this little girl that I read about. She was coming out of school one day and she had her arms crossed and she was saying, "People, people, people." And her mother said to her, "What's wrong, dear?" She said, "I'm not telling you because you're a people." I laugh when I heard that because I'm sure we've all been robbed of joy by other people, what they are, what they say, what they do. And no doubt we ourselves have contributed to robbing someone else of their joy. It works both ways. But what do? We have to live and work with people. We can't escape it. Things can also rob us of our joy. How many times have you seen this situation, or maybe you even experienced it yourself? You're in a store, and there's a child just screaming and crying because they want something, and their parents have said, "No, they can't have it." Well, you know what? We can be like that sometimes. We can let the desire for things that we wish we had rob us of our joy. And then there's worry. Now, I think that's one of the worst thieves of all. But you know what? It's important that we keep our joy. We need our joy because I believe that God designed your soul in such a way to operate off of joy. It's like a car that runs on gasoline. Our soul runs on joy. It's like our fuel. That's why Nehemiah 8:10 says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." So is your tank full this morning, or are you running on empty? Let me ask you this. What type of person are you? Do you like to fill up your tank when it's just part empty? I'm like that. I don't like it on empty. Or are you the type of person who, when the red warning light comes on, it becomes a game? And you want to see how far you can go. It might say you have 50 kilometers left, but you're convinced if you drive just right, you're going to get 60 kilometers out of it. You know, that kind of thinking scares me because we've run out of gas a few times over the years, and let me tell you, it's not a joyful experience. I remember one time, this was years ago, we were coming back from kids' camp on a school bus that we used to use from another church, and apparently the gas gauge was broken, and we ran out of gas on the 401 with a bus full of children. We had to get them all out in the ditch. Oh, it was not fun, let me tell you. So we got to make sure that we pay attention because we don't want to run out, and we got to keep our joy or else we're going to end up paying, or we might even run out, which is not good. So how do we do that? How are we to experience the joy that is rightfully ours as Christians? How do we find our joy? Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Philippians 4. I'm going to read verses 4 to 13, and we're going to see what God's word has to say this morning. Again, that's Philippians 4, 4 to 13. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We just love you, and we thank you for your grace and your presence in our lives. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would speak to each one of us today and just make your word open up in our hearts to see where we need to receive from it today. God, I thank you, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you back to 62 AD. The Apostle Paul, he was in prison in Rome when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. He was writing to thank them for a gift that they had sent him. He had no freedom, limited visitation, and failing health. However, it was here that Paul penned the words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Now, from an earthly perspective, Paul should have been the last person on earth to have joy. I think I probably would have lost my joy in that situation. Yet Paul didn't lose his joy. Instead, he wrote these words while chained to a prison guard. Can you imagine? Now, I think we can find it difficult sometimes to understand how to experience joy when we face times of despair. And one reason for that is we tend to equate joy with happiness. But they're told two totally different ideas because each spring from a different source. One comes from the world around you. The other originates directly from the Spirit of the living God within you. Happiness is conditioned by and often dependent upon what's happening to me. If people treat me good, or if things are going well in my life, then I'm happy. If my circumstances aren't favorable, then I'm unhappy. Joy, on the other hand, is described throughout Scripture as a profound, compelling quality of life that transcends the events and the disasters which come upon God's people. Joy is a divine dimension of living that's not bound by circumstances. Joy is inside out. Happiness is outside in. Now, the Hebrew word for joy means to leap and spin around with pleasure. And in the New Testament, the word refers to gladness, bliss, and celebration. Joy is also listed as a fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. That means that joy is not something we can manufacture on our own. It's produced within us by the Holy Spirit. And to have the fruit of joy ripen in our lives is to recognize the journey involved in getting there. Paul had that joy. So let's look at this passage and see how we also can get there. And the first thing we see is that joy comes on purpose. And what I mean by that is joy is a command and a choice. Paul begins by urging the believers to rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, this repetition emphasizes that joy is not merely a feeling, but a deliberate choice rooted in our relationship with the Lord. It's a command to find our joy in Him regardless of the circumstances. To experience joy, we also have to choose to be joyful. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him." So that tells me we need to choose to trust in Him in order to find our joy. Now, some Christians, they refuse to choose joy and to trust in the Lord. I know some Christians that choose not to be joyful. In fact, they have RBF. Do you know what that is? It's resting bitter face. Ever seen anyone like that? They never smile. They're grumpy all the time. I had someone say to me, "Oh, you know, that's just who I am. I can't help it. I've always been that way. I was raised in a family that was that way. Even my blood type is negative." Yeah, if that's you, you need to reject that lie. Joy isn't dictated by your personality or your culture or how you were raised. It is a choice that we make as we live with an awareness of God's presence in our lives, which brings me to the second point. Joy comes from His presence. In verse 5, Paul tells us, "The Lord is near." Now, some commentaries would interpret that to mean He's coming soon. And if you look at it like that, that should certainly give us joy because it gives us that hope. But most scholars would say that it means that God is near in the sense that He is close to us. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." You see, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He is in us. That's how close He always is to us. He's within us. And experiencing God's presence in your life is about recognizing and enjoying the reality of your union with Jesus. You know, you don't need more of God's presence. What? You see, he's always near you. What you need is a greater awareness of God's presence. That means you don't need to strive and strive to get closer to God. You are already as close as you can be because the Holy Spirit is within you. And when I understood that truth, I tell you, it brought me so much joy and freedom. I think there might be some people here today who need to stop striving. You need to stop striving and just enjoy your life with an awareness that he is there with you all the time. And every day, every minute is special time with God. It's about being fully present and aware of his presence and receiving his love. It's about understanding who you are in Christ and living in the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you. I want you to imagine a tree planted by a stream of water. The tree's roots go deep down into the soil, and they're absorbing nourishment and water from the stream. As a result, the tree just flourishes and produces abundant fruit. And this illustration, the tree represents a believer, and the stream represents a water. And the stream of water represents our relationship with Christ and the truths of the gospel. And just as the tree draws life and nourishment from the stream, we draw our joy with our connection to Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's where it comes from. So we need to be rooted in Christ because our joy is deeply connected to our relationship with him. In John 15:11, Jesus said, "These words I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Not just full, not just joy, normal joy, full joy. That indicates to me also that our joy comes from knowing and abiding in Christ and his teaching. Now, the third thing I see here is that joy comes from perspective. I read somewhere that when Goliath came against the Israelites, the soldiers all thought, "He's so big, we'll never kill him." While David looked at the same giant and thought, "He's so big, I can't miss." Your perspective is important. Let's look again at verses 6 to 9. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." I think I could also add to that, and you're going to experience more joy. Now, this tells us that our joy is very dictated by the way we see things, by the way we think, and by what we think about. When you look through life, to look at life through a lens of anxiety and negativity, you're not going to experience much joy. But every time we choose to trust in Jesus instead of worry, you're going to experience joy. And every time you see things through a lens of gratitude and thankfulness, you're going to experience more joy. There was this shoe manufacturer who decided to open the Congo market, and he sent two salesmen to an underdeveloped territory. One salesman cabled back and said, "Prospect here, Nell. No one wears shoes." The other salesman reported enthusiastically, "Market potential terrific. Everyone is barefoot." How would you see it? Let me ask you this. When something happens to you or your family or your friends that's not good, do you automatically think the worst possible outcome or the best? Do you pray about it or do you fret over it? Your answer to those questions will tell you a lot about your level of joy. Years ago, I read this illustration and it just stuck with me. I think I might have even shared it here before, but I want to share it again. It's about these two different people with two different perspectives. Mary Smith went to church one Sunday morning and winced when she heard one of the worship team miss a note. She noticed a teenager talking while everyone was supposed to be in prayer. She felt the pastor spent too much time asking people to give their money. She counted at least 5 grammatical errors made by the preacher in her sermon. As she left the church through the back door after the closing hymn, she thought, what an uncaring group of people. Amy Jones went to church one Sunday morning and was thrilled at a new chorus she learned. Her heart was touched at seeing a teenager worshiping. She was encouraged to see that the church was doing a service project to help street youth. The preacher's sermon answered a question that had bothered her for some time. She left church thinking, what a wonderful place to worship God. You know, Mary and Amy went to the same church on the same Sunday morning. What was the difference? It was their perspective. How about you? Did you come this morning thinking, oh, I wish I didn't have to go to church this morning? Are you sitting there thinking, oh, I wish she would hurry up and finish? Or did you come with the perspective, this is going to be a great day in God's house? Did you come expecting to grow and have a great time worshiping God? Did you come thinking, I'm going to find whatever is relevant to my life and apply it? I'm going to grow and learn and connect with my church family today, and maybe even I get to encourage someone? Is that how you came today? I hope so, because your perspective is important, and it affects your joy, your future, and your influence. The fourth thing we see in this passage is that joy comes from perseverance. Oh. There's this true story that took place in the summer of 1987 on a consumer flight from Portland, Maine to Boston. The pilot, Henry Dempsey, heard an unusual noise near the rear of the aircraft. He turned the controls over to his co-pilot and went back to check it out. As he reached the tail section, the plane had a air pocket and Dempsey was tossed against the rear door. He quickly discovered the source of the mysterious noise. The rear door had not been properly latched prior to takeoff, and it fell open. Dempsey was instantly sucked out of the plane. The co-pilot, seeing the red light on the control panel that indicated the open door, radioed the nearest airport, requesting permission to make an emergency landing. He reported that Dempsey had fallen out of the plane and requested that a helicopter be dispatched to search the area of the ocean where they were flying over. After the plane landed, the ground crew found Henry Dempsey holding on to the outdoor ladder of the aircraft. Somehow, he had caught the ladder and managed to hold on as the plane flew 200 miles per hour at an altitude of 4,000 feet. Amazing, right? According to the news reports, it took several airport personnel more than a few minutes to pry the pilot's fingers from the ladder. Now that's a picture of perseverance, the ability to hang on when it'd be much easier to let go. Perseverance is this amazing thing. It's the power of going on in spite of difficulties. It's the ability to withstand hardship or adversity. Perseverance is the key that keeps us from giving up and letting go when things get tough. Henry Dempsey would just say, perseverance is holding on for dear life. Perseverance is one characteristic that's definitely needed for us to experience joy in life. And Paul had perseverance. Look again at verses 10 and 12. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul had perseverance through many difficult things, but it taught him to be joyful. James 1:2-4 encourages us to consider it pure joy when we face trials, because the testing of our faith produces perseverance, which leads to maturity and completeness. This perspective allows us to find joy in the most difficult of times, knowing that God is at work within us. Also in Romans 5:3-5, it explains that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See, by focusing on the growth and the transformation that the trials bring, we can experience a deeper, more abiding joy that's rooted in our relationship with God. And then in Romans 12:1-2, it reminds us to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus, he endured the cross for the joy set before him. And by us following his example, we can find joy in our own perseverance, knowing that our ultimate reward is being with him and life eternal. And then finally, joy comes from his power. Verse 13 says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And I believe that includes experiencing joy in our lives. But it's in his power, not my own. Look back at Philippians 4:4. Paul encourages us to rejoice in the Lord always, highlighting that it is our joy is rooted in our connection with God. It's not dependent on our circumstances or our actions, but on the unchanging truth of who God is and what he's done for us through Jesus. And in John 15:11, I'll say this again. Jesus said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That tells us that the joy we experience is a result of Christ's life within us as we abide in him and his words abide in us. His joy becomes our joy. See, joy is a divine gift that flows from the presence of God within you. It's not something you can manufacture through your own effort, but it's a natural expression of the life of Christ within you. Now, if I can be honest with you, the past few years have been challenging. They've been hard for so many of us. With the pandemic, with the lockdowns, so many losses and many other circumstances. I know some people have had a really difficult time and some people are going through stuff even right now. And I have noticed that a lot of people seem to have lost their joy. I think anxiety and depression in a lot of people is worse than ever before. And I found this poem that I think sums up what a lot of people are feeling like right now. So the author's unknown, but it's called Running on Empty. And this is what it says. If I'm running on empty in my Christian life, if I yell at my kids, if I'm causing some strife, If my home is a mess and I'm down in the dumps and I got a good case of the spiritual mumps, if I'm running on empty, burnt out and sad, if I'm feeling rejected, frustrated and mad, if I'm angry that God hasn't answered my prayers, that he's left me to carry my problems and cares, then I need to stay still and stop running away from his cool word of peace in the heat of the day. If I'd open my heart to the Spirit's control, it wouldn't take long till the Lord filled my soul. Where are you today? Is your tank full or are you running on empty? Has the circumstances of life robbed you of your joy? Do you need to find your joy again? If the answer is yes, I'd encourage you to take Paul's words to heart and choose to rejoice in the Lord. Be more aware of his presence in your life. Maybe you need to change your perspective and then hold on for dear life. And I believe if we do that, we can be like that lady on the roller coaster. We can have joy no matter the ups and downs that we experience. Or maybe you're here today or listening online and you do not yet have a relationship with Jesus. And you've been trying to find joy in all the wrong places. What you own, your career, your relationships, or the approval of others. And you may find some temporary happiness in that, but true joy only comes from Jesus. So I would invite you to accept this free gift of salvation today. John 3:16 is a verse you may have heard or seen. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And that verse explains that Jesus died for us. He loves us, and that eternal life is a free gift. And if you believe that Jesus died and rose again to take the punishment for your sin, and you put your trust in him, you too can have a relationship with him. He will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come and live within you, and you'll become a new creation in Christ. And I pray that if that's you, you will make that decision today. It's the best decision you could ever make. And if you do, please let us know so that we can rejoice and journey with you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word, God. I pray for all of us here today, those that might be feeling sad or experiencing depression or have lost their joy because of circumstances in their lives, I pray that they would find it today, that they would find their joy in their relationship with you, that you would minister to them through your Holy Spirit within them, that they would be able to find that joy once again in life, God. We confess we need you. It is your joy. It is in your power that we can do that, God. So we just ask that your power would just be within us and that you would help each one of us. And God, now as we worship and as we go into our week, Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit to just joyfully go and rejoice in you always. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with us? And we're going to focus on Jesus this morning. Let's just worship him and allow him to speak to your hearts as we continue to worship.